Psalm 36 struck me this morning. God's love is meteoric, His loyalty astronomic, His purpose titanic, His verdicts oceanic. Yet in His largeness nothing gets lost, not a man, not a mouse slips through the cracks. How exquisite Your love, O God. How eager we are to run under Your wings, to eat our fill at the banquet You spread as You fill our tankards with Eden spring water. You are a fountain of cascading light, and You open our eyes to light. And further, in Isaiah 35, read this chapter. Wilderness and desert will sing joyously, and badlands will celebrate and flower like the crocus in spring bursting into blossom. A symphony of song and color, mountain glories of Lebanon, a gift. Awesome Carmel studying Sharon. Gifts, God's resplendent glory fully on display. God awesome, God majestic. Energize the limp hands and strengthen the rubbery knees. Tell fearful souls, courage. Take heart. God is here, right here, on His way to put things right and redress all wrongs. He's on His way. He'll save you. Blind eyes will be opened, deaf ears unstopped. Lame men and women will leap like deer. The voiceless break into song. Springs of water will burst out of the wilderness. Streams flow in the desert. Hot sands will become cool oasis. Thirsty ground, a splashing fountain. Even lowly jackals will have water to drink, and barren grasslands flourish richly. There will be a highway called the Holy Road. No one rude or rebellious is permitted on this road. It's for God's people exclusively. Impossible to get lost on this road. Not even fools can get lost on it. No lions on this road, no dangerous wild animals, nothing and no one dangerous or threatening. Only the redeemed will walk on it. The people God has ransomed will come back on this road. They'll sing as they make their way home to Zion. Unfading halos of joy encircling their heads, welcomed home with gifts of joy and gladness, as all sorrow and all sighs scurry into the night. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. We keep our eyes on that, guys. That is our hope. That is our reality. That is the truth that draws us. That's why we get out of bed in the morning with a smile on our faces, not dour or undone or overburdened by life. The enemy conspires, but God is the victor. He's already come. We've sung about it this morning. And that wonderful line in that new carol that Dave led us in, Jesus, the baby cries, as babies do, but baby Jesus cries for the whole world. He came to set things right, to redress the issues that circle us like wolves. And they are all together, all of them, undone. Thank You, Lord. Bless Jesus. Put your hands on the person next to you and bless him in Jesus' name. Oh, with a hope that God has given us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thanks, Davey. Thanks, Catherine. Why don't you guys welcome Pastor Dave up as he brings the word this morning too, guys. Come on. We're privileged. Thank you.
Hallelujah. That was great. Well, Merry Christmas. What a pitiful comeback. Merry Christmas. Come on. You know it's this time of year. You know what the most important prayer is right now? Jesus, give me a parking spot. You know it's time to get nimble. Hey, it's dangerous out there. Steve Groom gets back in form dodging carts and trolleys. Hey, you got to look front way and sideways and behind you. Hallelujah. We're surviving up at this point. What is the point? Hey, what's the point? What's the point about all this stuff, all the decorations, and you know, we do certain things. It's a time of tradition and customs and culture. It's a time of reflection and family. carols by candlelight, carols by daylight, just carols everywhere. And I just want to start off by just saying a few points. I want to talk about what's the point. By the 4th century, the church leaders decided that Christians needed a holiday in December to rival the solstice celebrations by pagans. So they selected December 25th during the Feast of the Nativity to have our day that we tag everything on, red and green, silver and gold. Oliver Cromwell, wasn't he a rat in history, hey? Oh my gosh, come on, Crommy, what are you doing? He actually canceled Christmas in 1645, you Scrooge. Anyway, in 1820, stores were already advertising in newspapers. In 1867, Macy's, a famous shopping institution, was open till midnight in 1867. I thought everybody went to bed like at 8 in 1867. They didn't. And they were open till midnight in New York City on Christmas Eve, so all those busy people could get their last-minute Christmas items at low, low costs. Nah, that's just kidding. I don't know if it was low or not. That was just a tag. St. Francis of Assisi lit the outdoor... Did you like that? Assisi, did you like that? Good. Lit the outdoor nativity scene to spread the Christian faith, and that was the first nativity, live nativity ever seen on the face of the earth. Except the original one, probably. You guys are slow. Okay, 1223, and he made life-sized truth message come alive in the day. Strategy, a message to get out to the world that Jesus was the answer. How about the poinsettia? Do you like poinsettias? Alan, Pris, don't you nod your head that way. Yes, you do like poinsettias. Good. Right? Yeah, poinsettia. Yeah, good. Point. What's the point? You thought it was an Aussie plant, didn't you? Hey? It's Mexican. It's a Mexican shrub. It's star-shaped. The red or the white is actually the leaves. It's not the flowers, Carlo. The flowers are little, sometimes yellow, white, or pink at the center. Buds, there's over 100 different species of the poinsettia. And it's actually called the Mexican flame leaf. Thought that was interesting. A guy named Dr. Joel Robert Poinsett, who was a politician in America in 1828, introduced it into the United States. And some say that it represents the Star of Bethlehem because of its shape. It doesn't have poisonous leaves. It's a myth. You ever get told, don't touch that plant and then lick your fingers. You're going to die. Did you ever have a mother like that? I did. Anyway, so you got to test that. Still standing, Mom. Anyway. It's another sermon. Okay, so... Christmas cards, is that the point? Because a lot of people get Christmas cards. I get Christmas cards, believe it or not. You probably painstakingly write 200, 250 cards, make sure they get out. Everyone's like, are you kidding? Anyway, and they've been around for over 150 years. A guy named Sir Henry Cole was too busy to write holiday greetings and salutations to his family and friends back in England. So he asked a guy named John Colcott Horsley, a well-known painter, to design a card with a single message that could be sent to his entire list. By the late 1800s, they had already been producing 5 million a year, just one publisher of cards. How about a white Christmas? Everybody talks about a white Christmas. I'm actually from the country the part of the country, this is Joel, that we get big snows and drifts and everyone's looking for a white Christmas. Talked to my mom and dad this morning, and they have about 5 inches. I don't know what that equates into centimeters. I don't look, Google it. I don't know. But anyway, it's about 5 inches. And why does everybody love it? Well, a guy named Irving Berlin wrote White Christmas in January 1940. World War II was in full swing, and that did 100 million. There's 100 million copies of that song that went worldwide. And that's really what kind of fueled this notion of a white Christmas. Now, I did a little research, because I like Google. And all you people that say it doesn't snow in Queensland, I'm going to just inform you of something. The average snowfall in Queensland is once per year and has happened averaging 136 years straight. In the Queenslander magazine, it noted on the 6th of November, 1895, that snow is unknown in Queensland except in Stanthorpe Highlands. It's very rarely ever seen even there. But the fact is that the snow has fallen as far north as Clark Ranges near Mackay, as far west as Texas, and it's not rare in the Stanthorpe District. As early as 1960, snow would seem regular visitor to Queensland's Granite Belt, the Southern Downs, during the winter. On July 28, 2008, 2 centimeters in Yuki, is that how you say it? E-U-K-E-Y, 14 Ks from Stanthorpe. And on October 12, 2012, it also fell. The biggest snowfall was 60 centimeters deep, July 3rd to the 5th, 1984. It even snowed and is reported to be in Brisbane, going past the Lennon's Hotel, and was seen on Mount Glorious and Mount Tambourine. Is that the point, to have a white Christmas? How about the Christmas tree? I like a Christmas tree. Actually, some years I have 2 Christmas trees, one white, one green, one big, one small, a lot of ball balls, some lights. Hey, everybody like a Christmas tree? Hey, we get dorked out about certain things, don't we? The pagan thing and the, you know, the ritual thing and all these things. It's just a tree, man. It's a tree. Hey? In the Middle Ages, it started, they think, the Christmas tree by a Middle Ages play that was based on the story of Adam and Eve, where the tree of life was placed in the Garden of Eden. A guy named Martin Luther put lights on the tree in the 1500s. He started to light candles and put them on the tree. So Martin Luther is attributed to giving us the lights. Religion's a funny thing. Tradition and customs. What's the point? What's really the point of the Christmas tree? Well, it's fun. And there's somebody had some symbolism involved way back when, and it's caught on, and now it's a traditional thing that we have. But there was a very important scenario in Genesis chapter 2, verse 9, where there's 2 trees found in the Garden of Eden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. The Lord God made all sorts of trees grow up from the ground, trees that were beautiful and that produced delicious fruit. In the middle of the garden, he placed the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The word life is Chaya, means alive. It actually means revival. God planted a tree of renewal, revival, life in the midst of the garden. It actually means community. We're all about carols, community, churches of the community putting on carols. God's in the community. He gave a tree of life. The actual word means Chaya, life, community, revival, renewal. Flowing, fresh water, it actually means. Appetite, green vegetation. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil Knowledge meaning perception or skill, discernment or wisdom, understanding. The word good means pleasant to the senses, to the higher nature, to the intellectual nature, to the ethical nature, to the senses and meaning rich. The word evil means bad, disagreeable, malignant, giving pain, misery, unhappiness, displeasing, bad values, worst, sad, hurtful, unkind, wicked, ethically, inactions, person's thoughts, injury, distress, or wrong. A tree is a symbol of humanity. Psalm 1 clearly states that a righteous man is like a tree. In Judges chapter 9, we see trees going to elect a king. It's representative of men. We see in the book of Mark where a man's eyes were healed and he saw men walking like or as trees. And then God, Jesus, touches him and he's healed and has his sight restored naturally. Flame tree. People on fire. People ignited with a passion. People infused, people downloaded with Jesus, with the power of the Holy Spirit. God placed his tree, whether it was an evergreen or a palm or some type of fruit tree. It has to be. Recognize that God has a plan for humanity to be in renewal, revival, to be in life. What's the point? What's the point of the season that we're in? So what? Jesus wasn't born on December 25th, but he was born. And it needs to be celebrated because there's a culmination. There's a line upon line. There's a domino effect that when we celebrate his birth, there's actually a domino effect of really what we're celebrating. That's the point. In Revelation 22, there's only one tree found at the end of the book. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil is not there. It's the tree of life that's left standing. It actually says that his throne is in this river, is in this tree. The river flows out of the throne through the city. The tree of life. The tree of life, it says there's two tree of lives on either side of the bank. And the leaves are for the healing. And it says that it produces 12 types of fruit each month, meaning 144. God's eternal plan. Do you know where you sit today? Do you know you sit in two places this morning? Do you know what we touch naturally in the situations that we just prayed for are very temporal? Because we get wrapped up into things that we can touch called flesh. And we think that's what defines life. But there's something greater than flesh that defines, and that is spirit. See, your person, who you really are, is not what I'm seeing right now. The point is there's something greater. And Jesus came in the flesh. We celebrate God's plan, him placing himself in the flesh. Emmanuel, God with us, incarnate, living like you and I lived, bleeding like you and I bleed, suffering like you and I suffer. But that's only temporal. Our eyes are on the eternal. The tree of life that he planted in the garden is still the tree of life that we celebrate in the life of Christ that came to give us life. Trees, evergreen, ever living in him, lit up with the power of God. What's the point? Well, if he came once, guess what? We're all celebrating he came once, and he did come. But there's a greater story. The point is, he's coming again. The point is, he's returning. And he's not going to be a little baby. And he's not going to be in some manger. And there ain't going to be little shepherds around him with angels singing in the meadow. He's coming as victorious king with fire in his eyes upon a white steed with a host of heaven and angels surrounding with a great shout in heaven that will sound like a trumpet. That's the point. See, as we celebrate what has been, we're actually celebrating what is to come. Because the reality is that Jesus did come in the flesh. The reality is that he did was put on the cross, that he did suffer and die. And he rose again for what? Because the complete good news message isn't just that Jesus came. It's he came and he died and he rose again and he will return. That's the complete message. He's coming again, everybody. It gets better. Because I don't have to wait for him to return to live like I'm supposed to live. I don't have to wait for Jesus to return to get all the bag of goodies that he's going to bring with him. See, the tree of life is found in Christ and Christ alone. We celebrate that his life lives within us. See, it's about relationship. The point is relationship, not religion. Traditions and customs can be good. If we put customs and tradition above him, we're in trouble. Symbolism is great to celebrate, but symbolism only symbolizes the truth. In and of itself, it's not. He is the truth. Truth is a person. The truth is Jesus Christ who came to set us free. Can I tell you that we can live free this morning before his return? We can live right in the center of the tree of life that's within us in Christ. My fruit does not wither. It's bearing fruit, bearing fruit, bearing fruit, and it's good fruit if I'm in Christ. It's the only thing that can produce good fruit. There's a lot of good things out there. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, there's a lot of good stuff on that tree. There's a lot of evil stuff on that tree. We don't get our satisfaction on temporal things that last only for a season. Are you with me? You okay? See, wise men still seek him. Hebrews 13, 13 and 14, therefore let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his approach, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Wise men still seek the one to come. If you're wise, then you found him and you're waiting for his return. That's a definition of a wise man. I'm not waiting for his first coming. I'm waiting for his second coming. He came to come again. When we celebrate his first coming, we're actually saying, I'm in line. I want to believe for, I'm standing for his second coming. He's coming again. Celebrate his first coming, because without the first, we don't have the second. That's the point. The message we have is fuller than we know. It's richer than we know. His birth, his resurrection, his death and resurrection, and his return. We have to, again, encourage ourselves in his return. Can I give you some scriptures to encourage you in his return? 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 and 17. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. You know what? I might die, but don't cry too long. Because we'll be reunited before his return if he waits. We'll be reunited in a twinkling of an eye. Don't get wrapped up on the temporal, because this ain't really me. I'm in here. I'm a spirit man having a body experience only for a short time. Enjoy it. Have some eggnog, maybe a Yule log, maybe light a little fire, get a little bauble on your tree. That's fine. Yeah, people suffer and they die. People get hurt and get things, all sorts of names. But the thing is, the tree of life is alive and well, and we can see things healed and delivered and set free. And sometimes they go home to be with the Lord, and they have to go on to beyond to be with Him. And we shed a tear and we cry because we love Him and we miss Him and we long for Him. But it's only temporal. It's not forever. That's good news. See, you're living in two places at once. I'm sitting here, but I'm also sitting with Him in heavenly places. Where is He sitting? On the throne. The problem is we spend too much thinking about here and not there. Understanding that there is in Him. That's why we see the power and the miracles and the anointing flow. Because He's in me. That's the point. Jesus is in you. That's the point. He's not some religious action where He's outside. He's inside. It's about relationship. That's the point this morning. We celebrate His birth because He came so I can have relationship and partnership with Him. Hallelujah. And even when I don't get it, and even when I don't understand it, I don't have to understand it. Say this, I don't have to understand for Him to be true. He just is true. I don't have to get it, guys. You don't have to get it. I have to get Him. I have to get free in Him. 1 Peter 1:6, and all this you greatly rejoice through though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. 1 Peter 5:10. After you have suffered a little while, will Himself restore and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Revelation 2:7. Behold, He is coming with the clouds. I believe that's speaking of the witnesses. And every eye will see Him, even those who pierced Him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of Him. John 14:3. Go prepare. He goes to prepare a place for who? You. And He says, if I'm going to go prepare a place for you, I'm going to come back and get you. Now look, think. Okay, just think for a minute. All the nations, all the decorations. Put Santa Claus and all the elves on the side. All the nativity scenes. All the carols, all the scriptures, the lights, right? All those celebrations, what are they celebrating? His first coming, that He came. Historians will tell you that Jesus Christ of Nazareth was a real person and walked the earth. He came. The historian Josephus gives accounts and others. It's well documented. Think, if Scripture says He will come and then come again and half of it's been fulfilled, guess what's guaranteed? Second half. It's not optional. This ain't like standing in Big W trying to dodge the cart from Mrs. Brown and Mrs. Smith. We're on their journey to the option aisle of gifts. And all the gifts lined up. And, you know, oh, I think I like the green one, the red one. No, dear, I like the silver one. No, I think this will look better. And you're trying to get around them. And there's no getting around, Mrs. Smith. Because she's got the cart this way, and Mrs. Brown's got it this way, and the thing that you need is over there. It And you would turn around and go down an aisle and come the other way, but they've blocked you on the backside now. You've waited an hour and 20 minutes for the one parking spot that you sat there waiting for. All the way out to Office Works and had to walk it all the way in. You must have been there that day, hey? You can feel the pain. Whew. It's not optional. Jesus is returning. He's returning for you. He's returning for me. He's returning for all our loved ones who have received him in the tree of life relationship through him. Revelation 22:12, look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me. James 5:7, be patient. Uh-oh. Therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord, see how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. Ephesians 2:6, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms of Christ Jesus. I don't have to wait for that. We're waiting for his bodily return, but I have him within me. I have his presence all around me and in me. I have his power and his glory residing in me. That's the point we celebrate. Because if he didn't come first, all that doesn't happen. We don't have a bridge to the Father's love. We don't have full forgiveness and acceptance. We don't have his blood covering and washing us clean. There's a lot of clean people sitting here this morning. You've received his blood. You're white. Your garments are white. You're acceptable to him. 2 Peter 3:3, first of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, where is the coming he promised? Well, he came the first time. All your little carols and lighted candles and all your decorations and all your parades and all those things that you celebrate and believe. I'll celebrate with you because you're celebrating truth that he came the first time. But let me just give you a little information. He's coming again. Have you had relationship with him? Have you received the tree of life in your heart? Let me have some eggnog and a Christmas cookie with you, and let me just talk to you about Jesus. That's the point. I can celebrate customs and traditions all day long. Some of them you might agree with, and some of you might not. I don't really care. The point is, I like to be all things to all men because there's a point of a message that I have to get into someone's view that Jesus has come, and we celebrate that, but he's coming again. Where are you at? That's the point. Where are you at with all that? What have you done about that? Hey, if we're holding hands going around the Christmas tree with all the presents and thanking the Lord for everything we have, where are we really at? Where are we at with the point? Is he really within us, the hope of glory? Waiting for his bodily return, but knowing he's invaded my life. And if he's invaded my life, I have permission to go into others' lives and situations and see life restored and see life flow out. To give people hope, to give people joy. Not because I'm his helper, because Jesus is the help. He's the deliverer. He's the savior. He's the soon returning king. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is Emmanuel. He is with us. He came, and can I tell you, he's still here within us. And he's returning physically, visibly. From the point which he ascended, he will descend. Jude 1:21, keep yourselves in God's love. Here's a point. Keep ourselves in God's love as you wait for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to bring you to eternal life. Here's the point. Keep in love, man. When Mrs. Smith comes up on the back of your heels, stay in love, man. She didn't mean it. There was $3.99 off of that item. She couldn't see. Blinded by the sale tag. She didn't see your heels. Stay in love. God bless you, Mrs. Smith. Gonna walk with a limp for a little while, but I love you. Thank you, Jesus. All right. Hey, I got news. You can't stay in love without Christ. You try to do it on your own, you're going to fail miserably this Christmas season and beyond. You have to stay in Jesus. Jesus, Him and you, you and Him. The tree of life. You got to live in the tree of life. Because it's the only life that supplies anything worth of value. Jesus is the greatest gift, the greatest present humanity ever received. Give as many gifts as you'd like to. Maybe even throw one a pastor's way. I tried. A little commercial. Don't really like dark chocolate, but milk chocolate's pretty good. I have frequented movies a few times, just as a little plug. Just in case you don't know my exact size. Woo! Having a little fun at Christmas. All right. Hey, He's the greatest gift to humanity. You know, they say that snow is real rare. Queensland, New Orleans, the deep south of America, it snowed there. In parts of Ireland, parts of Queensland, Mackay, that's far up, man. It's rare. Rare for God to come in bodily form. Never happened since. Never happened before. I wasn't there to see it. I'm there to receive it. Rare things happen. Miraculous things happen. Things never seen. Only a God can perform that. Only a true God, a creator of all, can perform that. Can I say the greatest thing never seen before is going to happen? Doesn't matter if it hasn't happened yet. He's already proved Himself He can do it. He already came once. And He promises He's coming again. The greatest gift to humanity will return in a different form. And it will be a great gift to those that know and love Him. It will be a terrible day for those that don't know Him. Don't be that type of person. Let's live in hope. Let's live in expectation. Let's live in a lifestyle that I'm not waiting for Him return to move in His power and love and grace. I just have to stay in Him. I have to receive Him. And we can see miraculous things happen before the day of His return. We can see blind eyes open, deaf ears hear. We can see lame people walk. We can see the incurable cured in Jesus' name. I don't have to wait for Him to return. He's within me and you. That's the point this morning. I'll say it again. A bunch of believing believers in here. That's the point. I believe He came. I believe He's coming again. Lord Jesus, we praise You and thank You for the season. It's a season of victory. I don't care if it's the real day, the right date, We celebrate it with joy and love. We celebrate it with hope, expecting you to return again. And Lord, until that day, we ask for grace to be faithful. Lord, to wait patiently, that's hard in ourselves, but not hard in you. Help us stay in you. Help us just be filled with you today. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for a lot of laughter. Lord, let it be a witness as things happen and situations play out in the days and years ahead, if it's your will, that we be people still of laughter because we know we have Jesus within us and he's returning for us. And Lord, should we perish before that time happens, we'll all be reunited with our loved ones that know you and family members and friends. And Lord, even through the misunderstanding, and Lord, we don't get it, I thank you that you're God. You're the point. You are the reason for the season. And Lord, the season is daily. We praise you and thank you for that. In Jesus' name. I'm just going to take just a couple minutes. I've got a few prophetic words. I just want to flow in that. And I'll let you go. My sister right here in the black and white tick. Yep. There's a real spirit of intercession on you and amazing anointing on your life. I don't know who you are, who you belong to, where you come from, but there's an anointing on your life, and God's just going to produce such amazing fruit out of that intimacy of prayer life. And there's just a real special bond you have with Christ that he's pleased with, so I want to encourage you in that. It's really good. Yeah, wonderful. The glory of God may it be greater in your life, hallelujah, than before. Hallelujah, Jesus. Tanya, I just saw you with the kids this morning, and just such a beautiful anointing coming off and through your life. And just, things to come. Things to come. Yeah, they're just going to be just so powerfully and wonderfully expressed. Yeah. And God's doing a good work in your family. You're doing a deep, good work in your family. Yeah. And there's just really cool stuff going to happen. Yeah. In this next 365 days, you're going to see some amazing things happen in your family. He's doing a good work there. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You're so good. You're a good God, Lord. Yeah, Michael, just know that God's pleased with you. He really is. And as you're growing, God's just going with you. Yeah. And you just have a real tender heart. And the Lord's just going to use that to melt people's hard heart. And there's anointing of melting. I don't know how else to say that. Yeah, just as you get around people. And God's placed a soft heart in you. And don't ever hear people's rubbish that men have to be tough and hard-hardened to be a man. It's not true. And Jesus was a tough bloke, but he had a soft heart. And so, I think that's your course with that. So, hallelujah, Jesus. God's so good. Simon, I just feel like the Lord's just going to bless your sleeping hours. I feel like there's been some stuff going on when you sleep, and maybe lack of or something going on, but he's just going to, says he gives his beloved rest. So I just want to share that with you. Yeah, God loves you. God bless you real good. Merry Christmas. We'll meet tonight, and I'm going to give it back to Pastor Joel.